Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hey, Sonny. Yeah, I hear you're getting out here, huh? What, about 2 weeks here? Good for you. Well, I'm going to be here a long time.
Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary has been closed since 1963. But the myth, legend, and lore of the infamous rock that housed prisoners such as Al Scarface Capone, the Birdman of Alcatraz, and Machine Gun Kelly has grown exponentially over the past half century. And today it is a must-do destination for tourists from around the world. So much so that the rock recently received TripAdvisor's 2015 Traveler's Choice Award as the number one U.S. landmark and number eight in the world. Attracting more than 1.4 million visitors annually, touring the Rock has become so popular that tickets must be booked months in advance throughout the summer season. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a fascinating conversation with National Park Service Public Affairs Officer Alexandra Picavet at Pier 33, Alcatraz Landing in San Francisco, California. Alexandra, what a seminal day right here on Pier 33.
It's a beautiful day. We have this really rare opportunity here at Alcatraz to have some of the people who actually lived the history that brings so many visitors every day to this island.
What's fascinating, as I recall, Alcatraz closed in 1963. That's way over 50 years, and yet some people don't even believe that there are prisoners, ex-cons, that are still alive.
Actually, it is surprising. We're having fewer and fewer who are able to make any trip out here to Alcatraz anymore.
Is there any rough sense of how many ex-cons are still alive?
We thought that we knew that there were just under five of them, but just this week we had a person arrive who we've never had contact with before, who was an inmate on Alcatraz. So we're doing some research and we're going to get back to him. He wasn't able to stay for this event because he didn't know it existed, but I'm hoping he'll come back and visit us next year.
That's great. Today is a special day. There's an event, a press conference, and it has to do with the past, present, and future of Alcatraz, doesn't it?
It does. It goes way beyond just having the alumni that are here and interacting with the public. We also had this really unique honor that TripAdvisor has bestowed on Alcatraz. Actually, their users did. This is the Traveler's Choice Award for the number one landmark in the country. They voted Alcatraz the number one landmark in the country. They also voted Alcatraz as one of the top 10 landmarks in the world. So we're on the same list as the Taj Mahal and Angkor Wat and Machu Picchu, which is just amazing.
And that is incredible, especially if you know any San Franciscans. They go, oh yeah, I need to get out there someday. True?
It's true. The San Franciscans, when they do come out here, are usually so surprised because it's not what they thought it would be. A lot of times they only think of the tourists that go there and the tourists that are drawn here. But when they do come, and I have to say, we recently had an art exhibit, an Ai Weiwei art exhibit, that drew a lot of locals to the island that hadn't been ever or for years if they had.
So without that art hook, they might never have gotten out there.
That's true. That art is what drew them out. And now they realize that there's so much more to Alcatraz than what they've seen on the news or what they've seen in the movies.
Another thing I find fascinating about Alcatraz is the layers of history. There's structures out there from the Civil War, and you just restored part of that, didn't you?
We did. We recently were able to unveil a view that hasn't been seen since the early 1900s. The Civil War era, and even before the Civil War, the military built a fortress on Alcatraz. It was one of three forts that were protecting the bay. Those structures, because they were built in the 1850s, were not seismically built. They weren't seismically sound. So what we're doing is working on stabilizing those structures. And what we did in the process for the Sally Port is we removed a wooden building that had been blocking the view since the early 1900s. With that view, you now can see Angel Island, you can see the Bay Bridge, but the most amazing thing for me is you can also see where they've carved above what used to be a drawbridge, Alcatraz's Island, 1857.
Nice. That's great. There it is. Everybody can see that again.
Right. And you can also see where the dry moat is, where the drawbridge used to actually raise and lower.
One of the things that's real palpable when you go to the island is, again, because of that age and that history and the marine environment, you can see concrete crumbling and rebar being exposed. In parallel, there are workmen out there that are trying to restore. What's the vision for the restoration of some of the buildings out there and the physical structure?
So the National Park Service, as an agency, has this really unique position of having to protect in perpetuity these historic landmarks. And you know, Alcatraz was actually closed as a federal penitentiary because it was so expensive to maintain and to keep up. So it is difficult. We actually have some really large projects that are coming in the next couple of years. One of them will be really visually intrusive to the San Franciscans because it's the west wall of the cell house that will have to have scaffolding and it'll have tarps around it. Though without that project, we were told by engineers we may have to close down parts of the cell house to the public.
Because of what you plan to do, it'll be good to go for another 100 years.
That's what we hope. Hopefully 100 years. We'd be even happy for 50 years at a time. One of the problems with the marine environment that this island offers is that it's really hard on the buildings. It's really hard on the structures. The infrastructure, most of the infrastructure doesn't work anymore, so we have had to install a new way of getting electric throughout the building. We bring water to the island every day.
On barges?
On barges, that's right, a special one. We also remove the water every day that's been used. That's something that no other agency who's run Alcatraz has ever done.
Probably very few national parks have to remove their water.
That's true. Alcatraz used to be one of the largest carbon footprints in the National Park Service on the West Coast. And that's because everything had to be done on the island or brought to the island. And what they did on Alcatraz is they had generators, diesel generators, about the size of a two-story building that ran 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. And that was a huge pollutant in the air. When the National Park Service took over, we brought in smaller diesel generators. It was the 1970s. It was the cleanest that we could be at the time. But since then, with the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, we actually were able to get a grant for $8 million to put solar on the island. Now we get, and especially on a day like today, which is the most unusually sunny, beautiful day in the summertime I've experienced, we get at least 60% of the electric that is needed on the island provided by solar.
Another dimension that I think is fascinating, riding on the Alcatraz Tours boat out there, we passed the other sister ship, and it has wind generators and solar panels on a ship. That's really cool.
We have the greenest fleet in the country, and I would say actually in the world, taking people to a tourist location like this. Alcatraz Cruises has done an amazing job of taking their ships, retrofitting them so that they could be as green and clean as possible with wind turbines, with solar panels. They also have reduced the need of power in order to run them. They have much more efficient engines. It's been one of the best things that we've been able to do.
What would a tourist, a visitor specifically experience when they come to the island? What do they get to see?
Well, the really great thing about your national parks today is that you really get to find your park the way you want to. Some people come just for the Civil War era history. It's such a unique part of history on the West Coast. They think about it for the East Coast, and then to get here and think, Alcatraz, really? Some people come for the Native American history. And actually, if you were to come back here on Columbus Day or Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. The most amazing start of your Thanksgiving day can be at 4 o'clock in the morning on Alcatraz.
Wow.
As the Native American community comes together and they dance and they talk and they have a fire and they remember the occupation of Alcatraz in 1969.
I remember that.
It was such a unique part of the story that a lot of people don't know exists. In fact, the National Park Service went through extra pains because when we restored the water tower that's on Alcatraz, we had to paint over it with a special covering, and that covered over all of the historic graffiti that was left on that during the Indian occupation. So what we did is we invited one of the original occupiers plus the grandchild of the lead of Richard Oakes to come back and replace that graffiti.
Oh, wow.
So that when people go
around...
That's
a switch.
It is. When people go around the island, though, had we not replaced it, 1.5 million people get to the island, but another 5 million want to. And so they just go around the island and get a picture of it. And to see welcome free Indian land hopefully inspires them to do a little research and find out why the heck would Alcatraz have that on their water tower.
That's a good story. Because Alcatraz is so popular and is such a buzz, everybody wants to come, and yet they arrive in San Francisco in July or August, and then they're going, oh, bummer, you don't have advance tickets, you can't go. So how do you deal with that?
Almost year-round, Alcatraz is sold out days, if not weeks in advance. Right now, we're sold out multiple weeks in advance.
So everybody we see here queued up to go on the boat, they got their tickets a month or two or three ago.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
And that's one of the things, landmarks, by being small in nature, like Alcatraz. Alcatraz was designed to house up to 305 prisoners a day, not 5,000 visitors a day. And so we actually aren't able to really add a lot of people to that experience, or they're not going to be able to see anything. They're going to spend their entire day just looking at the backs of heads or trying to push through lines, and that's not at all the experience that caused people to vote it the number one landmark in the country.
Okay, insider's best kept secret. How do you maximize when to come and what to see?
Especially for locals in San Francisco, I always tell them that if they know they have family coming to visit, they should buy tickets ahead of time. Just buy them. 3 months out is the earliest that you can buy them.
And when you pre-buy, do you have to target a specific departure time and moment?
You do. But the reality is that you can always return a ticket that you're not going to use and get a full refund if you do it early enough. But you can't buy the tickets once they're sold. One thing about your guests, if you've gotten them tickets for 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning, they will not begrudge you having to get up early to get to Alcatraz at 9 a.m. because they'll know that they are among the very rare people who get to get out there that day. If you live in San Francisco and you want to come to Alcatraz, you haven't gone before, my recommendation is you come in January.
Oh, yes.
January is a much better time for us locals to get on the island.
When people think of Alcatraz, it's kind of the first super prison, you know, the super fortress. And a lot of people imagine that there were 1,000 prisoners out there, but that was never the case, was it? There were 200, 250?
Right. Well, Alcatraz was an experiment. It was started in 1934, and at that time, Prohibition had caused there to be gangs. There was crime in the United States that they could not break, and they had been trying. Alcatraz was created to finally break the backbone of that kind of criminal existence in the United States. So what they had was three prisoners to every one guard, which is a ratio much different than any other prison. But they also made sure that they had the best fed prisoners so that people got as much food as they wanted, and it was really good food.
Why did they care how well they fed them?
Yeah, they actually even issued cigarettes to them. See, what they found was if they could keep everyone on an equal plane, nobody had anything that they could trade up for. No one could say, I've got this and you need that. That actually eliminated a lot of the strife and conflict that could occur in the prison. So it was very calculated. They also, each prisoner had their own cell. They didn't share with anyone, which actually gave them a sense of security that you don't find when you have a shared cell. It also gave them a little bit of privacy, which was extremely unique to have in a prison. So it was an experiment. It was a very, very expensive experiment, and that and the cost of the structures themselves caused the federal penitentiary system to close it down in 1963.
One of the myth, legend, and lores of Alcatraz, and I even heard on the tours this mentioned, you hear that the prisoners could see San Francisco, could hear the sounds coming in. And yet I've talked to a couple of ex-cons who said, never saw the city, never heard the sounds. It's one of those, depending on where you were or where you had privy to as a prisoner?
Yeah, the only place that you could really get a view of the city was as you were entering the rec yard from the main cell. So there's a glimpse that you get right there and from the top row of the stairs there.
But in a day-in, day-out basis, all the prisoners never really saw San Francisco or heard it, the downtown.
Right. One of the things, though, is that they always knew that they were right there. The only time you can really hear the sounds of the city is when the city was having a celebration like fireworks or a big event that would have been on the water, and it was a still night. But then you could actually hear the sounds come across. I think that most of the people, though, who were incarcerated on the island, that wasn't what they wanted to focus on.
Right, for sure. Probably the last thing.
Right. Yeah.
But it must have been haunting and palpable for those who did.
I think it was sad for those who did because it reminded them of so much of what they were missing, what they had given up.
Unfortunately, our boat's about to leave.
Well, it is. We're actually going to take the 10 o'clock boat and go up and listen to Robert Luke talk in the mess hall.
Oh, yeah. One quick thing. Robert Luke said that one of the game changers in his life was on the rock and smelling fresh-cut grass.
Oh.
Former Alcatraz prisoner Robert Luke.
Yeah, I was sitting out in the steps in the yard looking over the wall at the bridge. And one day,
the Golden Gate?
Yeah. And I had about 10 months left of the federal sentence. So I was sitting there looking, and all of a sudden I got a whiff of new-mown grass. And it just did something to me. I asked myself, what am I doing here when I could be out there smelling the new mown grass? And then, why am I here? So I went all the way back why I was there and come to the conclusion everything I'd done was by my own choice. Nobody made me do it. And as soon as I really believed that, all the hatred went out of me. I couldn't blame anybody else for anything. And I was ready to get out of prison and make a life outside.
And that was, what, 1958?
Late, 1958, right.
Alexandra, thank you so much.
Thank you. I look forward to having you meet more of the alumni.
Alcatraz Island is administered by the National Park Service's Golden Gate National Recreation Area. To learn more about the history of Alcatraz and visiting the Rock, log on to nps.gov/ALCA. The underbed music was performed by the legendary Don Young, retired owner of National Guitar Company.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,